I wouldn't say it's a diplomatic offensive. I would say that I was invited to address Chatham House on the disputed election and the way forward. But, you know, when you come here, you have to use the opportunity to see Zimbabweans in diaspora, which I did, and also to engage the Foreign Office, the government in Britain, about the situation back home. So it's just part of our global engagement, and I think starting with this Chatham address, it will clear the issues back home.
How are you being received in the UK?
No, there's an overwhelming response. People want to know that Zimbabwe is not a forgotten crisis in the world of other crises. People are very much interested to know what are the next steps. So in the same vein, people want to know whether there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Going back to that speech at Chatham House, you talked about various scenarios. What is the way forward for Zimbabwe?
The way forward is what we have proposed as the MDC, which is when a country faces a national crisis of our magnitude, you need a collective solution, a consensus as to the way forward, which means that you need national dialogue as a prerequisite to find common solution. In our case, the crisis in 2008 was resolved by national dialogue through the Global Political Agreement, although, of course, it was later on subverted when it came to elections. But the whole process of returning to stability, confidence, and prosperity came out as a result of that negotiated solution. So what we have been calling for is that let's have all stakeholder participation in that dialogue, not just political parties, but churches, NGOs, trade unions, student movement. Because we face a national crisis, we should find a national solution.
Do you think ZANU-PF is ready for dialogue? Because the officials that we have talked to about the need for dialogue are saying, no, Mr. Tsvangirai is desperate to come into another government of national unity.
No, far from it. I'm not desperate. Neither is the MDC desperate. We are desperate to find a national solution. What's wrong with that? Unless, of course, ZANU-PF is saying there's no crisis, as their president has said, that the economy is on the rebound, nothing to worry about, which has now become a laughing stock because everyone knows the state of the economy and the state of the people. So those who still want to bury their head in the sand, like the ones that we are quoting, can continue to bury their head in the sand.
Some ZANU-PF officials are also saying that in order for that dialogue to happen, you must concede defeat to Mr. Mugabe. Are you going to do that?
We have a disputed election on our hands, and I've maintained a position that under no circumstances are we going to have conditional dialogue. If people want to talk, let's talk, but unconditionally. A collective that should set the agenda, not an individual party.
Behind the scenes, are there any ZANU-PF officials who are reaching out to the MDCT to say, let's talk about the national crisis?
No, they are not behind the scenes. And this does not mean behind the scenes. If people want to talk, we'll talk openly. It's incumbent upon the government to now put the whole process into motion. Not us, we are not in government.
Talking about the dialogue, Mr. Tsvangirai, initially I think you were giving the impression that this must be amongst Zimbabweans only, but now you are saying that it should be internationally brokered.
No, when you have got a possible protracted negotiation, you need third-party endorsement. We will talk as Zimbabweans. If we feel that we can't make progress and we have reached a deadlock, obviously that's where the regional international people come in.
You are also saying the EU, when it wants to engage with Zimbabwe, must not just re-engage, but must insist on implementation of agreed electoral conditions. Some are taking it to mean that you are saying the EU must maintain the so-called targeted sanctions on Zimbabwe.
No. If we say that the EU must engage on a framework, that's exactly what I mean. I don't mean that go back and institute punitive measures. I have already said that we welcome any move that is going to remove any restriction that ZANU-PF may use as an excuse. So if EU wants to engage with the Zimbabwe government or Zimbabwe, they should do so, but on the understanding that there has to be an agreed framework. If the EU believes in democracy, believes in the rights of the people, surely those values will apply to Zimbabwe too. And if there is going to be a partnership, ZANU-PF government must reciprocate to achieve those values and ethos.
You are also sounding hopeful in your speeches. Like I can quote, you are saying, I can clearly see that we are on the brink of the sunset of our struggle, a sunset soon to be replaced by a new dawn of a new country, a new leadership, and new and abundant opportunities for every Zimbabwean. What is giving you this optimism?
I'm always an optimist. I believe that when signs are there that will determine that people are reaching the rock bottom, that's the time to move up. At the end of climbing a mountain, you always reach the top. And like any sunset, there will always be sunrise. So it's just an optimistic prediction based on what's happening in the country.